Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus 911. My name is Ruben Nava. Today I am a one-man car. My partner Jesse Romero, he's out getting some extensive training on his spiritual warfare. Some of the things that he learns from Liber Cristo, he's out there this week, so we won't have him with us, but he'll be praying for us, and we'll be praying for him. Good morning. We got a good show. It's packed with some insightful stuff. I'm going to be speaking with a new friend of mine who is doing some tremendous things on the front line, and she'll be calling in a minute. But as always, we're going to start with our prayer to Archbishop. The one that Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano has penned for the president, for our country, for us. And it's a powerful prayer, so we're saying it every day. Just remember, we're with the FBI, faithful, believing intercessors. We are part of the CIA. Christ is alive and disciples of Jesus, the DOJ. We also, I like to throw out that we're the ATF. We assemble the faithful. And we seek the DEA, right? Denounce every abomination. LAPD, love attracts people definitely, and love attracts pride destroys. And we will, love and LASD, love and sacrifice daily so that we can leave all sin destroyed. And so I don't leave out Eddie Chavez, his CHP acronym, Catholics Helping People. So God bless you. Let's go ahead and start with the prayer, and then we'll get right into the phone call with Laura. In nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. Almighty and eternal God, King of kings and Lord of lords, graciously turn your gaze to us who invoke you with confidence. Bless us, citizens of the United States of America. Grant peace and prosperity to our nation. Illuminate those who govern us, so that we may commit themselves to the common good and respect for your holy law. Protect those who, defending the inviolable principles of the natural law and your commandments, must face the repeated assaults of the enemy of the human race. Keep in the hearts of your children courage for the truth, love for virtue, and perseverance in the midst of trials. Make our families grow in the example that our Lord has given us, together with his most holy mother and Saint Joseph in the home of Nazareth. Give to our fathers and mothers the gift of strength to educate wisely the children with which you have blessed them. Give courage to those in spiritual combat. Fight the good fight as soldiers of Christ against the furious forces of the children of darkness. Keep each one of us, Lord, in your most sacred heart, and above all, he whom your providence has placed at the head of our nation. Yes, bless the President of the United States of America so that, aware of his responsibility and his duties, he may be a knight of justice, a defender of the oppressed, a firm bulwark against your enemies, and a proud supporter of the children of light. Place the United States of America and the whole world under the mantle of the Queen of Victories, our unconquered leader in battle, the Immaculate Conception. It is thanks to her and through your mercy that the hymn of praise rises to you, O Lord, from the children whom you have redeemed in the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so in nomen Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sancti, Amen. We have Laura Chavez online. Laura, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, Ruben.
Thank you so much for calling in. Laura, I just wanted to highlight the work you're doing at the cathedral. I've joined forces with you along with some of my friends, and we're trying to encourage others to join us. Can you just tell the people, the listening audience, what is it that you are doing out there and what you were moved to do? And so, like, basically, what's your mission statement?
Well, our mission statement is, we're targeting the whole situation that we're going through as our Catholic Church. We're closed. We're being denied sacraments. We're being denied the normal the normal way our church is supposed to be. We don't want to accept this new normal, and you know, we don't know what's ahead of us. So we needed to, you know, we needed to go out and just be a voice, because Catholics were silent. All Catholics were silent. Well, not our leaders, but also the laity. And yet we were concerned at home and praying and whatnot, but we need to do more. You know, I felt like we, you know, our, you know, and I'm really devoted to Our Lady, and, you know, I've been doing rosary rallies for the last 10 years. And so I just, you know, started thinking, you know, what is she asking us to do? She's asking us to pray, to go out in public, do public prayer. I was just called to do this because I started, you know, just reading some things from the saints, what the saints would do, you know?
Right.
For example, from St. Louis de Montfort, he says, when people say the rosary together, it is far more formidable to the devil than one said privately.
Amen.
Because in this public prayer, it is an army that is attacking him. He can often overcome the prayer of an individual, but if this prayer is joined to other Christians, the devil has much more trouble in getting the best of it. Public prayer appeases the anger of God and calls down his mercy. And let me read another one, Reuben.
Okay.
This is from St. John Vianney. Private prayer is like straw scattered here and there. If you set it on fire, it makes a lot of little flames. But gather these straws into a bundle and light them, and you get a mighty fire rising like a column into the sky. Public prayer is like that.
That's
so we need to heed to what the saints were saying, too. And so we have to apply it for today. And, you know, when our Blessed Mother appeared in Fatima in 1917, you know, she appeared on May 13. And then for the next 6 months, her request, every apparition was pray the rosary, pray your rosary
absolutely.
Every day. Pray it.
That's right.
So, and through her, she says she will conquer the devil. She will conquer the evil one. So this is what we're called to do. We're called, you know, it's like, you know, I feel like we're always debating against the enemy, whether it be within our family or friends, and you know, they're being brainwashed by the mainstream media. And we know that they're all, you know, the devil is behind all of this confusion, all of this division, you know, and despair and fear. You know, that's all coming through the media, through social media, whatnot. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and we know, you know, as Catholics, as Christians, you know, God, that is not of God.
No, you know, Laura, the media is censoring conservatives, censoring Christians and Catholics, taking our posts down, taking, you know, on social media, just not giving us a voice. But I liken it. I liken it. Well, okay, so what we're doing, and I'm out there with you, is we're praying in front of the LA Cathedral in downtown LA, and well, I don't know, we had maybe 100 people out there this past weekend, and 2 hours of praying, and you've put together a nice packet of prayers. We say three decades of the Rosary, and so it takes up all the time, but it goes by quickly because we're honoring God. We're out there on the front lines. It, you know what, when I think about the changes that occurred after Vatican II, they were foisted on us incrementally. You know, they were just a little at a time because they knew that we would push back if it was all given to us. If the way the church is, the Novus Ordo churches are today, the modern churches are today, if that had occurred overnight, oh, we would have pushed back. But they did it incrementally, and so if we don't push back now, they're just going to keep taking and taking and taking, and I just believe, like, you know, every life is defined by decisive moments, and those moments of decision often dictate the course of decades, you know, and you know, that should make you nervous. Nor if God is ordering your footsteps like it is you and myself, it should fill you with a sense of destiny. And so when we take action, we forfeit the future. Just as inaction is an action, indecision is a decision. And remember what Edmund Burke famously said, that that the only thing for necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. So I applaud what you're doing out there. And this Sunday, we're going to be praying You've decided a lot of people want this. So we're going to be praying the rosaries in Latin. And
we're going to have all the prayers in Latin for everybody. So everybody can follow along. You know, I just recently learned how to pray. I just know the Hail Mary and the Glory Be. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to be learning more with everybody else too. But, you know, and the reason why we want to do this too is to bring back, you know, what was going on in the past. You know, in the past, the Latin language is the official language of the church, you know, and this is the you know, it brings us all together as one voice, because, you know, you've got the different languages out there, you know, whatnot. And I just felt, you know, hey, let's do the Latin rosary, that we're all, it's all one voice. You know, so this is the reason why, you know, that came about too. And also, you know, people need to know that that the enemies of the church, that Satan has always hated the use of the Latin,
right.
the Latin
That's
language.
Right.
So they don't. So I think part of with Vatican II, Ruben, like you were saying, what did they do? They scrapped the Latin language out of there too.
Right.
So that was a big, you know, mistake as well.
And it wasn't called for, by the way. It was asked for, you know, a great use of Latin in the liturgy, and it was scrapped. But we think,
right, absolutely.
You know, we gotta quit living like it's BC, like before Christ. It's AD, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. So we need to reread the book of Revelation and remind ourselves that love wins, hate loses, faith wins, and and fear loses. So, in the words of Julia Ward Howe, in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on. His truth is unstoppable, his grace is unconquerable, but we must step up and step in. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. I'm 10-8. I'm a one-man car, a king car today. My partner's off filling himself with the Word and some good Catholic intel and some briefing. He's getting it from the best. And I'll tell you what, I just want to thank our guests on the other side of the Laura Chavez for calling in, because she's doing great things out there. She's got a group of prayer warriors that are out there, just solid Catholics that that love Jesus, they love Holy Mother Church, love the Blessed Mother, and you could see that out there amongst these people. And it's not without incident. There's a couple that you could see that the devil is fighting back. There's, you know, they'll put some people on the street that, you know, want to sometimes interfere. So that's why we need men to be there and to escort them out of the way. It happened once or twice, three times maybe this weekend, but it was without, you know, anything major happening. But what we're going to get into it's pretty disturbing to me. We're going to be speaking to the bishops, to asking them to change and to defund this group that they're donating money to. Some of your money from this, you know, Catholic Campaign for Human Development, and I know we've all heard that in the parishes. Oh, we're giving this donation this Sunday, a second collection or something is for the CCHD. So there's a tremendous man on the front line, Michael Hitchborn from the Lepanto Institute. He is a solid Catholic, a solid investigator. He puts together great articles, and that's his organization, the Lepanto Institute. And we've talked about his stuff in the past on this show. And going back to his article, it started, well, I should say he refers us in the articles that we're going to talk about today. He refers us back to an article that he wrote in November of 2015, entitled "The Marxist Core of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development." And so just touch on that just to get, so you can get the, you know, the context of what we're going to talk about today. He's saying that the Catholic Campaign for Human Development Catholics don't realize that it's the very core of the CCHD is a philosophy of revolutionary leftist ideologies. Over the years, the CCHD has been rightly criticized for funding organizations that are themselves promoting contraception, homosexuality, abortion, prostitution, and socialism. By these issues are only symptoms of an overall thrust that is aimed directly at convincing Catholics to fund Marxist revolution in the United States. We are seeing it today, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Hitchborn, he's trying to help Catholics understand how the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is simply the Catholic version of what Joseph Stalin called the front organizations for the Communist Party. And if you can't see that, you're going to see it today, and we're going to point out some of the things that he's talking about. But it's just the tip of the iceberg, you know, the CCHD. It gives you an idea of just how Catholic money is being funneled to the communist, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual front groups, and today they're being funneled to organizations that are calling for the defunding of police and the killing of police. So it illustrates just how the very nature of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is to act as a funding agency for communist front groups, and even stands as a front group itself. Dozens of former communists have testified to the fact that the Communist Party is intent upon infiltrating churches, specifically the Catholic Church. They also, and you can go back to Bella Dodd's revelation to Congress, I believe it was in 1951, where she admitted helping 1,100 men, communists, join the priesthood, and those people later made it up to high offices in the chancery's office, you know, as bishops and as cardinals, and that's how we got into this mess today. They also testified to the creation of front organizations intended to spread communist idealism without exposing their true identities. So they've seen Saul Alinsky tactics. You know, Saul Alinsky knew he couldn't lead Catholics to embrace abortion and contraception right away, so he had to establish firm relationships with priests and bishops first. And this is why CCHD grantees rarely ever get defunded, even after they've been exposed doing something abominable, like support same-sex marriage or so-called marriage, doing something abominable, something abortion, poor abortion, poor contraception, and things of that nature. So I want to fast forward to what Michael Hitchborn is talking about today. And here we are in 2020, and in his article last month, he says that these organizations, these same organizations that the CCHD is providing millions of dollars to, they've long served, as I said, as communist front groups. And it's the, you know, he refers us back to that article that I was just referencing right now. And in the wake of this this killing of George Floyd, riots have erupted in cities all across the country, resulting in billions of dollars of damage, stolen goods, and a murder of at least several. Well, his article says two police officers, but it's more than that. It's more than I'd say at least five or six. Hundreds of officers have been targeted as a result of violent rhetoric coming from rioters and protesters. And in New York, two officers were shot, one stabbed in the neck after being ambushed by rioters. Four other officers were shot in St. Louis while they stood in the police line. Two officers were shot by a rioter in Richmond, Virginia. In Oakland, two officers were shot, one killed in a drive-by ambush. Others have been hit by bricks, baseball bats, rocks, and even a car. You know, what you're seeing in Portland right now, guys are coming armed with sticks and bricks and high-powered slingshots where they're slinging big metal ball bearings and things that just can take out somebody's eye, can kill somebody hit in the head. It's just unfathomable what we're seeing out there. And the left is not denouncing it. The politicians have not once come out and said, hey, you need to knock this nonsense off. You know, they're not even speaking to their people. You haven't heard Biden come out of the basement once and say, hey, let's stand down, guys, you know. But because they think that this revolution is going to, their intention is to make President Trump look bad and thus win the election, steal the election. So there's a group in New Orleans, the New Orleans Workers Center for Racial Justice. They just received $150,000 from the CCHD over the last 3 years, including last year's grant of $50,000. So on May 30th, NOWCRJ posted a video on Twitter of a protest they were participating in, chanting death to the racist pigs about police. So it should be noted that the logo for NOWCRJ is a clenched fist, which is the hallmark of Marxist revolution. On May 29th, that same organization posted a tweet voicing solidarity with the violent protests in Minneapolis, stating revolution is our only option at this point and to rebel is justified. And if you can go to the Lepanto Institute, their articles, he's showing Twitter posts and social media posts of these actual quotes. He's just, you know, screenshots of them. They're all there. You can't deny where he's, you know, he's getting his information. So they're asking for the defunding of police. Now, what do you think is going to happen when you defund the police? Do the inner cities need more policing or less policing? It's more. It's an easy answer. More policing. Those people, the majority of them are good people that live in the inner city. They just don't have the funds to move out, and it's a shame what these politicians are doing. They don't care about their constituents. And here's another one. Since 2015, the Workers' Center of Central New York received $200,000 from the CCHD, including $70,000 grant in CCHD's last published grant cycle. As with NOWCRJ, the Workers' Center also has the clenched fist as its logo. On May 29th, the Catholic-funded organization gave full-throated support for rioting and looting on Facebook, saying, get this, quote, these riots and lootings are taking back what the masses of working black and brown communities are owed. Riots and protests are necessary tools, and we fully support. An injury to one is an injury to all. End quote. The Worker Center also joined in protests and explicitly called for the defunding of police, as you know, seen in the photo that he posts. Also, on June 5th, the Worker Center, with the abbreviation WCCNY, created a sign calling for the defunding of the police, and included on the sign DSA, which stands for Democratic Socialists of America. It's right there, plain English. And in other words, it's clear that the Worker Center is collaborating with publicly Marxist organizations for the defunding of police. On June 5th, the People's Lobby demanded the defunding of the Chicago Police Department. This is the same department, ladies and gentlemen, that is out there working their tails off. Murders are up in Chicago by over 51%, shootings by over 47%. It's like you're out there, you're in the middle of Beirut, you know, you're in the middle of Afghanistan, if in some of these battlefronts. So on June 5th, the People's Lobby demanded the defunding of the Chicago Police Department, the release of violent protesters that had been arrested, and for the Chicago police to immediately stand down, ostensibly so that vandalism and looting would be easier to do. Of course, what they're trying to say to you, they think you're dumb enough to believe it, that if President Trump does, if he just keeps these federal officers out of their towns, that it'll be peaceful protests. You know, I don't know who they think we are that we're going to believe that. It's just, it's so far from the truth. My blood boiling, gets my Latin blood boiling. I want to get back up and strap on the uniform again and say, hey, here I am, coach, put me in. So on June 5th, the People's Lobby created a tweet and tweeted a video of one of its members screeching at a line of police officers. Why do you serve? Why do you protect? That's what they were calling. That's what they were saying. Tweet called for the defunding of the Chicago Police Department. That same day, the People's Lobby posted pictures of their protest, which included a call for defunding murder, meaning that the police departments are murderers. And that's what they're trying to get you to believe, ladies and gentlemen, is that they're demonizing the police. And we're going to pick this up on the other side of the break. They're calling for the heads of the police officers. We got to stick up for the blue. Be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. I need God's anointing today more than I did yesterday. I think you do too, and I'll need it more tomorrow than I do, today. So without it, I'm below average, and eventually become yesterday's man. With it, the law of averages is out. Averages is out the window. We don't just let the future happen. We make it happen with God's help. So we have to step up, and we can't just pray as if it depends solely on God. And you also have to do some work. Okay, you have to work as if it depends on you. And so it's your work ethic plus your prayer ethic that will inch you closer to what you want to see accomplished, your dreams, getting the church back to where we had it before. And it happens one practice, one day at a time, just like an athlete. He doesn't just go up to the plate and without having worked at his swing, for years. And the same thing with our faith. We have to just practice it every day. We have to put it in action. And we're being called at this time. We're born for this time. And we're seeing this, the destruction of our country, of our church. And we can't stand by idly, thinking that other people will get involved. Other people will do it. No, it's got to start with you. It's got to start with you and your family. It's got to start with your immediate circle, in your workplace, bloom where you're planted, and then you move it out. Your first circle is your family, your immediate family, and then your extended family and friends, and go from there. We have a lot of people in our family I think my family a little less, but we do have people in our extended family that believe in this nonsense, and so those are the people we have to educate and also those people in your churches, good solid Catholics that just are standing by, not getting involved, and it's going to affect all of us. So we need to all join forces. So I'm talking about this these agencies that the U.S. bishops, CCHD, are funding, that are out there, are Marxist groups. They're out there calling for the death of police officers and the defunding of police officers. Here's another one, June 5th. The People's Lobby retweeted Black Lives Matter, Chicago's pictures. There's pictures of them on what they're writing, saying F the police. And another funded organization, it's calling, using inflammatory rhetoric to incite violence against police officers in the Workers' Defense Project, WDP. And the WDP received $165,000 over the last 3 years, including a $60,000 grant this year. On June 8th, the WDP accused Houston's police department of murdering people of color with impunity, demanding that the police department be defunded. And you know what? Some of these liberal mayors and governors are listening to them. This mayor here in L.A., Mayor Garcetti, boy, if this guy doesn't need to be recalled, I don't know who does. This guy, he just said that we're with those protesters in Portland, and he called for defunding LAPD. They've taken a big chunk out of their budget. the Board of Supervisors here in L.A. just have voted to put an issue on the ballot that will defund part of the Sheriff's Department's budget. And they're doing it so that they can appease these anarchists, you know, saying that it's their way of showing their solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. And we've talked about it on our last week on the show. Jess and I pointed out how the Black Lives Matter movement is a communist organization. It's racist, and they, you know, if you donate to them on their website, you're donating to the Democratic Party and all these Soros front groups, all these groups that are calling for the destruction of America as we know it today. So on June 2nd, WDP publicly supported the Defense of Black Lives Dallas Coalition, and they demanded for, here's their agenda, defunding the police, Dallas Police Department, the reduction in the size of the police force, and removal of military-grade weapons and tactical gear. Why do you think they want to take that away? So they can come in with greater firepower, right? They're saying, oh, that's causing more agitation, and it's causing them to these peaceful protesters to push back. Oh, it's the other way around, ladies and gentlemen. Divestment from exploitative forces, including prisons, fossil fuels, police, and surveillance. That's what one of their demands. Immediate depopulation of Dallas County jails, prisons, immigrant detention centers, and juvenile facilities. So what do you think they want these prisoners about on the street? So they can have more people to fight the police. And, you know, a lot of these people, those are their family members. Those are their loved ones that are behind bars. Yesterday, I read that I think the Antifa and some of those protesters were at Gavin Newsom's the gates to his front yard. And I was thinking, wow, that's great. You know, that's great. They're finally going to call him out. And then I go on to read that they're calling for him to empty the prisons. He's already called for, he's gonna empty out 18,000 inmates. So what do you think that's going to look like? More convicts on the street who, don't kid yourself, the majority of people do not get rehabilitated in prison. That's, you know, that's good in theory, but remember, I've worked the county jails on two occasions, and those are the people that go on, that have been in prison, and they go on to, they're fighting their cases here, and then they go on to state prison when they get convicted. So those are the same people, and they don't, by and large, do not rehabilitate themselves. Some do, but the majority do not, okay? It's a breeding ground for hate. It's a breeding ground for groups, you know, the Islamic groups that are in there heavily. A lot of people lose their faith in there. And then there's some that gain their faith back, but some is just temporary, and they go back to the streets, and then it's back to business as usual. Here's another one. You know, on June 4th, WDB celebrated homosexual pride by comparing the Stonewall riots with the BLM riots, saying our fight is won. If you don't remember what the Stonewall riots were, that was 43 years ago. In June 28th, 1969, New York City police raided a gay bar on Christopher Street called the Stonewall Inn, and the cops raided it. The raids on gay bars were routine in those days, but this time patrons fought back. Violent clashes spread and across the Greenwich Village over the following days. And by the time order was restored, one thing was clear. The LGBT community would no longer tolerate harassment and intimidation. And so they fought for their rights and LMNOP, I guess I should just say it. Their pride parade, and that's where it all came about. So this group is saying they're pushing, you know, the homosexual agenda, and they're comparing that Stonewall riots to the BLM riots. Okay, and if you remember, the BLM is, a couple of the organizers were our LGBTQ women that are pushing for that whole agenda. So Given the calls for Marxist revolution, it can't be any clearer as to why these organizations wish to see police departments defunded and their resources reduced. Michael Hitchborn says successful Marxist revolution requires the removal of all pillars of opposition to their violence so that an overthrow can be achieved. In addition to the vitriolic and vengeful language inspiring hatred and violence against police officers coming from these grantees, we have found several others which signed onto a public letter demanding the defunding of the police force. The solidarity letter from the immigrant justice movement claims without any evidence or indication of what these institutions are that, quote, white supremacist institutions and the historical criminalization and over-policing of black communities have led to the heavily militarized police forces and a system that uses prison beds as a form of punishment and social control, end quote. And then another thing they say is that the recent violence directed at protesters has shown that the police state values property over the lives of peoples they've sworn to serve. And as calls for a commitment to dismantle the police state by defunding and decreasing police budgets. And those CCHD grantees signing the letter to defund and decrease police budgets are Arise Chicago. They got $150,000 from CCHD. Casa San Jose, $60,000 from the CCHD. We Count New Orleans Workers Center for Radical Justice, $150,000. Another group called We Count, $105,000. Workers Defense Project, $165,000. La Conexión, $60,000. And Workers Center of Central New York, $200,000. So the Lepanto Institute is asking readers to contact the CCHD and their bishop to demand that these organizations be immediately and publicly defunded and blacklisted from all possible future funds. These organizations are directly working to destabilize the United States of America, and they're seriously jeopardizing the lives of police officers throughout the country. And if the bishops do not immediately and publicly defund these organizations, they're signaling to Catholics everywhere that the Catholic bishops of the United States are in favor of Marxist revolution. Furthermore, the deaths of police officers as a result of the inflammatory language from CCHD-funded grantees will be on their hands. And so if you go to their to these articles at the bottom, they have the websites that you can write to your bishops. In fact, they even put together some letters that you can just copy and send out to your bishop, to the CCHD, and we got to push back. We can't sit back idle, guys. All right, we got to fight back. We got to tell our bishops what it is. Maybe our bishops don't know. Maybe there's a bishop that doesn't know that this is happening. But you've heard it here. You've heard it, and this is an awesome organization, Lepanto Institute. Be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911. Oh, I should say, well, I am back. We are here giving you some, here I go again, I am here giving you some Catholic intel and some briefing, and you just heard how the CCHD, one of the funds that the USCCB, you know, funds, they're taking that money and donating and giving to some of these organizations that are front groups for, you know, communism and the defunding and killing of police officers. So you can go to our show page, get the link to the shows today, and you'll see the articles that I'm referencing. They'll have a sample letter that you can send to your bishop. Also, you can there's another sample letter to the CCHD, and you can contact Bishop David Talley, chairman of the CCHD subcommittee. That's and it gives his website or his email. So contact these people and let's get involved. Send them some letters and let them know what you feel, how you feel, and that you're not okay with that. We aren't okay with sponsoring things that are contrary to the faith and calling for the death of police officers. Okay, enough of that negative stuff. Let's talk about something positive. Let's end the show on a positive. This is we want to highlight, you know, Catholic, you know, muscular Catholicism, muscular Christianity. And there's a doctor in Colombia, and his story came out as a photo of this doctor praying the rosary in COVID-19 hospitals, and it goes viral. And he's an anesthesiologist, Nestor Ramirez Arrieta of Colombia. You know, he takes advantage of every opportunity to pray the rosary when he has a chance in his work day. A friend of his who's an evangelical Protestant pastor, Luis Alberto Gallego, says he took a photo of him at prayer. That's the doctor. He took a picture of the doctor at prayer with his protective gear and all and shared it on Facebook with a moving message. He said, "This image of my great friend and brother, the doctor anesthesiologist Nestor Ramirez, breaks my heart. He, like many doctors, endures endless shifts and very intense emotional pressure that many of us would not be able to sustain. So even so, in short moments of rest, he takes out his rosary and dedicates himself to prayer. Although we differ in the way we worship and pray, can anyone doubt that God hears his prayer? I have no doubt God hears our prayers." This is what the doctor's saying now. What Jesus, like most, was to heal the sick and witness his presence daily. "He acts through my hands," the doctor says. "I ask him to use my ministry of healing more so now that we are going through such a difficult situation." So Dr. Ramirez told the Aletheia, that's the news source that I'm getting this article from. "He is one of the many professionals fighting to save lives in a country where COVID-19 has exacerbated the crisis in its healthcare system." And he quotes Jesus, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." And he says, "Doctors and nurses and all healthcare professionals are at high risk today, not only because of the danger of contagion, but also because of the shortcomings of the Colombian health system and the incomprehension of citizens who have stigmatized them, going so far as to threaten them with violence and even death. So these doctors and nurses that are on the front lines are being targeted because they can't, you know, they haven't been able to save everybody, apparently. So it seems counterintuitive. Why would anyone treat healthcare professionals poorly? But some people see healthcare professionals as a possible source of illness or contagion. Or think they're inventing or exaggerating the disease and wrongfully keeping people from seeing their own family members. And it has become political. And I think you're going to hear today on the Terry and Jesse show about one such doctor who's speaking out. She's an African black female officer. A doctor who's speaking out, and her post is being taken off of Facebook, taken off of Instagram, and they're censoring her because she's tired of it. She's tired of the nonsense. It's a virus, no doubt. People have died from it, but they're not treating. What she says is they're not treating the patients in the best, giving them the best care they can, because there's things that are working, like that hydrochloroquine, and because the president touted it, now the left pushes back and is against it. So they want to discredit the president, and in the meantime, let people die. It's unbelievable. So the article goes on. Aware of the situation, Dr. Ramirez goes to work daily at the Mother Bernarda Clinic, run by a community of Franciscan sisters, with the peace of mind that comes from being protected by the best weapons: prayer, the Eucharist, the Rosary, the blood of Christ, and sacramentals. His days are filled with tensions, the struggle to save lives, precautions, recovered patients, the miracle of life, and the constant prayer, he told Aletea. And so a few days ago, he says, I had to perform a tracheotomy in the COVID ward. It was the second time I felt great fear during the pandemic, but also great hope. After entering through a maze of protective measures, being dressed by two people, having two overalls, masks, gloves, and face masks, we performed the procedure, one of the ones that results in the greatest number of members of medical teams catching the disease. So if people had the opportunity to see these images, they wouldn't go out to the streets. They wouldn't rush to reopening the economic sectors, and they'd be more careful. And so he says, when we finished the procedure, the doctor took advantage of the empty waiting room to read a passage from the Bible. God's message was clear and forceful. Do not be afraid. I am with you. It was enough to strengthen him and give him the peace of mind to continue operating. And every grueling 24-hour shift and every operation is an opportunity for Dr. Ramirez to pray. So many patients, in spite of the general anesthesia, have told me that they felt something spiritual, a sensation difficult to describe. He says, when I see they're in danger, I pray for them, and they feel it. It's God's working through my hands. And that's the same thing with you, ladies and gentlemen. You can be an instrument of God's working. God can work through you. And so he says that the rosary has been his faithful companion. His life is divided in two halves, just like all of us, you know, before and after coming to know Christ. His spiritual journey of 18 years allows him to evangelize while practicing medicine. It hasn't been easy. He says at first some people made fun of him and asked him for his blessing, but little by little his co-workers realized that he's a true man of faith. He's described his journey of faith over the past years. You know, it just reminds me of even when I was coming back to my faith. You know, I had coworkers that were saying, oh, there's Father Nava. Oh, and saying, why don't you become a priest? You know, what are you doing in police work? But, you know, eventually they saw that I was serious about it. And they said, man, and instead of looking down on me, they looked to me for leadership. They looked to me to be, they'd ask for my prayers. And the same thing here with this doctor. You know, who would you want working on you? Would you want a doctor that has no faith and is a product of the world and all that, he's caught up in all the nonsense that's going on? Or would you want a man of faith? You know, the same thing out there in the streets. Would you want a police officer that knows and loves God, loves his faith, and is there to help you? You know, you think you're going to have a little more, God's going to be a little more on his side than not? Of course he is. You know, you're in a state of grace. The Lord hears your prayers. So remember, you can't shy away from this, because remember, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 10:33. So the doctor goes on to say, after a family crisis and a worldly life, he had the opportunity to feel that he was face-to-face with God on a day of loneliness. He says, I began to attend prayer groups. I let myself be guided by spiritual advisors. I returned to the Eucharist. I began to study the life of the Virgin Mary. I began to love the rosary, a faithful companion in my professional life, to the point where I pray between, get this, 5 and 10 every day, between 5 and 10 rosaries every day. Now that's muscular Christianity, my friends. The prayers of his wife, Maria Bernarda Lopez, helped his conversion. They've been married for 36 years, and they feel that God has walked beside them throughout their life together. God supports their family, which includes their 3 children and 1 grandchild. Meanwhile, Nestor, that's the doctor, is never far from an operating room. He says, in spite of these difficulties in exercising my profession, I will continue to help so many sick people who beg for help because I work for God and not for men. I will continue as long as he gives me strength. Man, this is getting me fired up. The grace of prayer and the rosary will be with him as he continues in his noble mission to help heal bodies and pray for souls. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you, are you living your life the way that God is calling you to live it? What are you doing? Or what are you not doing? What do you need to stop today that you were doing yesterday that needs to end? What are you going to start doing today going forward that's going to improve the body of Christ, is going to, you know, get you one step closer to heaven and get your families to heaven? You know, we're called to get our families to heaven, especially you men. You're the spiritual leaders of your home. So don't sit back idly, you know. And then when you go to work, are you wearing your faith on your sleeve, or are you ashamed of it? Or are you, oh, I can't talk about faith here. You know, I wasn't supposed to talk about faith at my work either, but I'll tell you what, I answered to God. I answered to Jesus Christ, and he was part of my job, you know. And every morning I started every morning with prayer, and it's the way to go. I'm telling you, there's no way that you can be living the faith and living the life that that Christ wants you to live if you're not a prayerful person, prayerful man, you know. And do your best. I know with the shutdown of the churches, do your best to find places that are open to get to the Blessed Sacrament. And, attend Mass as often as you can. Receive the Blessed Sacrament in a worthy manner. And, your morning, afternoon, and evening prayers, doing the Auxilium Christian Norm prayers, because we're going to be attacked. We are being attacked. And the devil's coming after you. You know, if you're not being attacked, then the devil's more than likely has you already. So if those people get closer to God, just ask St. John Vianney. Ask Padre Pio. The devil attacked them constantly. So let's be out there, men and women of prayer. Okay. Thank you for listening to the show. Remember, we'll be out there on the front lines praying in front of the LA Cathedral. Join us from 11 to 1. You can park right there on Temple Avenue, or park on Hill Street. God love you. Keep the faith. I'm out. I'm 10-7. Stay tuned for Hands On Apologetics with Gary Bashuda. Thank you. I'm out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.